In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to move on in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start chapter 6 and go down at least as far as to verse 13. Which, if you remember, chapter 5 ends with Jesus still in Capernaum. And what he's done there parable discourse. And then they go across the lake back to the other side, to Capernaum. There's a storm at sea, and then there's the driving out of the demon and the raising of Jairus' daughter. Of course, as you know, we're in the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to pick up from there today and do the medievals, mostly Stephen Langton, who divided the Bible, correctly noticed that changes in geography in Matthew are his way of indicating divisions in his text. So this text starts off, as you know, he departed from there, that is Capernaum, and came to his native place, which is Patrida Aftu, which is Nazareth, okay? And went into the synagogue to teach. That's where we're going to be today. The first verses of that section in chapter 6. One of the things that Mark does, as do the other disciples to a certain degree as well, is use geographical movement, the notice of geographical movement, to sort of break up his text. They don't write in chapters and so forth the way we do, but they keep us aware, if we're paying attention, we've moved. So he went from there and came into his patrida, his own place, and of course his disciples followed him. And when it was Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Now that, you see, it means, synagogue, Nazareth, is not a metropolitan area, it's a small little town, maybe a couple of hundred, maybe a little bit more, but there's a synagogue, and they meet there, and there's a leader of the synagogue. And Jesus, because he's becoming prominent, would be invited to comment on the Bible reading. He began to teach, and many, who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this?" They're astonished at his wisdom. I mean, he's a hometown boy. He's dumb like the rest of us. His father's a carpenter. His mother's right over there. So who is this guy? You see, that's the way this goes. What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? We've heard about these miracles in Capernaum, Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Why? He's too ordinary. He's too approachable. Now this question, of the you see, the relatives of Jesus. There's a very interesting line here that indicates that Mark also knows that Mary conceived virginally. It's a very interesting line. You see, is he not the carpenter, son of Mary? You never designate a man by his mother, but by his father. And here, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, aren't his sisters here? Now, obviously, you're talking about a crowd. These are not the natural children of Joseph, probably, unless it's from a former marriage. They're the close relatives, the family. If you've ever lived in a Semitic part of the world, you get the idea. You see? Not so much now, because a lot of more modern thinking is there as well. But nevertheless, there's the notion that you've got your family, your close friends who are like an extended family, and you've got the rest of the world is at least potentially your enemy. I can remember when there was this boy in one family. He married a girl in another. His brothers had been pushing him to do that because the girl was the only child of a very wealthy family. And I'm sure the brothers were more interested in the money than in the romance. Well, then he took off. I guess he couldn't stand it anymore. So there was this it wasn't exactly the way it went. Anyway, all the men in the clan, over 100, gathered in a house to figure out what to do with this whole situation. And it was the opposite. They had married their sister into the family of an only son who's very wealthy. And then the son took off. And so now they're going to kill him. So there's one of the boys there, he's died himself now. He stopped them. And so, beat him up, but don't kill him. Well, what happened was the girl gave birth to a boy. Oh, well, then everything's fine. The husband, father, came back. Everything was fine. But you must realize that, you know, in that crowd there, the interest wasn't the sister or the romance or the family. It was the money. And so I'm just trying to point out that those things happen. And that happened in a much bigger town, happened over in Haifa. But it's still part of the way things go there. So he began to teach in their synagogues, you see. And they said, they were astonished, saying, where did he get this? And the wisdom given to him, and the miracles, signs of power given through his hands. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and John, all these relatives? What's the problem with Jesus? He's too ordinary. Well, ordinary, how many of you other guys do miracles? You know, it's ordinary, but they gather these wonders under the ordinary, as though they're happening every day in Nazareth, and of course they're not. He said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, his own native place, among his own relatives, and in his own household. They were that resistant. And so he says, and he could not do there many miracles, or any miracles, because, except heal a few people by putting his hand on them. And he was astonished at their apistia, at their lack of faith. And that's this first set apart, you see? This, he's there in his own hometown. He's talking to people. He's probably teaching in the synagogue. He's doing miracles. But look, we know this guy. And he used to live up the street. And so, as Jesus quotes this proverb, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. How does it, the prophet, this is the way it's translated. The prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. Now, Mark here, in the next line, as we're going to see, also links this to faith. See? He says, he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. You see, faith is created by the Holy Spirit, yielded to by people. And this creates an environment where more miracles can be done. That's why, for the most part, even today, when somebody is an itinerant preacher, they first preach a while to stir up faith and then begin to pray over people for healing. And the Lord confirms that. I know two young priests who have a remarkable healing ministry. They travel all over the world now, very much blessed by their bishop. But it, what are these signs and wonders for? To show the reality of God. There is a God. Look what he's doing. Nobody else can explain this. And his mercy and his care. The sick are being healed. Sometimes, I happen to know these two young men, sometimes after the doctors have declared we have nothing we can do anymore for this person, they happen to be in the town and they're preaching and they pray over this person and they're healed right away. Or even while they're preaching, that happens. I'm familiar with that. But when you're preaching, people are healed by the beauty and the power of the word. And so that's what's happening here, you see? But here, he's surprised at their apistia, their lack of faith, or their non-faith. Now, this is astonishing, isn't it? But let's look at our own lives. Go to Mass every Sunday. Are you excited about it? Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know that the living, eternal Son of God in his humanity is going to be there, first in his word, as Vatican II reminds us, and then in his sacrament? God is there. And we're wondering, how long is he going to preach? You know, I got a golf date or whatever. Not everybody, of course. But you see, it's faith. Now, faith is a willingness to yield to the truth. That's all it is. The truth is presented to us, and the Holy Spirit elevates our capacity to accept this truth and to yield to it. And so he was surprised at their lack of faith.